Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I sent out this tweet or this post on X earlier, whatever you want to call it. And here's what I said. I said, the Montana Democrats sue to allow men in girls' bathrooms. They vote against income tax cuts for the people. Remember, all but two of the Democrats in the entire legislature voted against income tax. But then Democrats get triggered by our governor's video encouraging gun companies to move to Montana from Colorado. Did these guys realize that November and the November elections even happened? Here's the video that Governor Greg Gianforte shared about Colorado that triggered some Democrats here in Montana.
Last week, the Democrat governor of Colorado signed into law one of the most restrictive gun bans ever adopted in the United States. The law bans the manufacturing and selling of semi-automatic firearms. This is on top of the liberal state's existing ban on high-capacity magazines. That's just crazy. If you needed another sign that Democrat governors are out of touch with reality, well, here it is. Colorado is ranked in the top 10 states with the biggest gun industries. So, to all gun manufacturers in Colorado, my question for you is simple. Do you want to move back to America? Montana is open for business and home to more than 150 firearms and ammunition manufacturers, at the highest per capita in the entire country. We are a constitutional carry state that has enacted laws outlawing discrimination against gun and ammunition manufacturers. In Montana, we embrace freedom and the free enterprise system. Come on home to America, right here in Montana.
Oh, what a great message there from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Yeah, and we've seen it firsthand. I mean, we've been down at the SHOT Show for, what, 4 years in a row now? Has it been 5 years already? And it's incredible to see all the Montana businesses that are down there that are in, you know, that either have their own gun business or somehow in the gun industry themselves. And we've also seen how with the state of Montana showing an active presence down there, that not only does it help promote and market our businesses to the rest of the world that gathers down in Las Vegas for the SHOT Show, but it's also encouraged some incredible American patriots to move their businesses right here to Montana. In fact, just a few days ago, I ran into Peter Johnson. He was stuck in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he's like, okay, I got to get out of here. And he's walking through the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and he sees a Montana booth, and he's been back here rock climbing and, you know, and enjoying the outdoors. And he thought, Montana. And he's an Air Force veteran, great guy. And he thought, Montana. He's like, man, I got to get the heck out of Minneapolis. And so he moved his businesses here to Montana. Great patriot. Him and his wife, both great Americans who've served and sacrificed for this country. And now they're here. And so, man, yeah, if you're still in Colorado, what a train wreck that state has turned into. Okay, quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got a great guest coming up right after this. Matt Sharp, senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom. We're going to talk about several bills in front of the legislature in Montana right now.
It's April 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Pigs in a Blanket Day. Little hot dogs wrapped in a pastry. Of course, there are some variations, like in the UK, sausages instead of hot dogs. The first written reference to them was in a 1957 Betty Crocker cookbook for kids. Also on this day in 2005, the German Joseph Ratzinger becomes Pope Benedict XVI, succeeding Pope Francis. In 1990, the first mission as part of NASA's Great Observatories program, Space Shuttle Discovery, launches, bringing the Hubble Space Telescope to orbit, which can see billions of light years away. Born today,
doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
Kelly Clarkson in 1982.
People.
And Barbara Streisand in 1942. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, guys, we have a great lineup on the show here this morning. Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson joining us in about a half an hour. Next hour of the show is our legislative update. We should have both Senate President Matt Regeer, the Republican, and also House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin, the Democrat, joining us later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But let's do a little bit of a legislative update right now. We've got a great guest back with us here on Montana Talks. I've told you guys before, my wife works for an incredible organization, the Alliance Defending Freedom. And I tell you what, I've gotten a chance to meet Matt Sharp before. Incredible guy, incredible lawyer, incredible man of faith. He's also the senior counsel and director of the Center for Public Policy at the Alliance Defending Freedom. Matt, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you've testified before the Montana legislature on numerous occasions, numerous pieces of legislation. What are some of the good bills that you're seeing get across the finish line back here in Montana and maybe even some of our neighboring states as well?
Well, it really has been a banner year for Montana, protecting rights, and not just for Montana, but setting a national standard. I think we've talked before how on, for example, parental rights, we routinely, when we're traveling to other states, point to Montana as really the gold standard of protecting parental rights. So one of the great bills we've seen this session is one that would make sure we're not just protecting natural parents, but also adoptive and foster care parents. We know that there's some great families out there that want to open their homes to kids in need, to kids that are needing a safe and stable environment. And unfortunately, at Alliance Defending Freedom, we've seen some efforts to shut out families who are great parents that want to open their home simply because of their faith. These are parents that don't want to be forced to affirm a child's gender confusion or use wrong pronouns. And they're told that they can't open their home to children because of their beliefs about what it means to be male and female. So there's a great piece of legislation, HB 655, that would protect those good foster and adoptive care families to make sure that they're not pushed out of the system, that they can continue to welcome children into their home. And ultimately, that is a win for Montana's kids, because that's going to mean there's more families available to welcome these children in, to give them a safe, stable environment. And that's a huge step forward for parental rights and protecting religious freedom, in my view.
Yeah, it's crazy. And on the left coast in particular, you're seeing this where they are actually discriminating against potential foster parents because of their Christian beliefs and telling them that, well, you can't be in the foster care system. And so whether this is happening in Montana or not, now is the time with a slimmer but still a Republican majority to make sure we protect those religious liberties.
That's right. We've got cases in Oregon and Vermont, for example, where these families are being pushed out of the system. One of our cases in Vermont, it's a family, the Gantz, that they have a history of specifically welcoming children that have special needs. And so in their case, they were reached out by the state for a child that was going to be born with some addiction issues because of the mother's drug and alcohol use. And the Gantz immediately said, yes, we'd be happy to welcome this infant into our home. But then when they had to go through a questionnaire and were asked, you know, will you affirm gender identity and some of this stuff, the Gantz said, look, one, we're dealing with a child, I mean an infant, and number two, we just can't do that consistent with our beliefs. And so this great family that was actually sought after by the state was disqualified simply because of their beliefs about what it means to be male and female.
Yeah, give me the bill number again for that Montana legislation, and then where does that legislation sit right now in the process?
Yeah, so this is House Bill 655. It is passed through and I think is on its way to the governor's desk, so we're hopeful to see that bill signed in its current form and make sure that those protections are solid in Montana, and that it will actually join. I think there's about a dozen other states that have passed similar legislation protecting foster and adoptive families and organizations.
You know, it's been great. Every day during the legislative session, I've gotten a chance to listen in on Jeff Lasloffy's legislative update with the Montana Family Foundation. This has been a divisive legislative session, you know, even for the Republicans in the legislature. But the one thing that has united the Republicans, well, now we've got income tax relief. But the one thing that everybody stayed united on, thankfully, was standing up for women's protection, women's privacy, in keeping men out of girls' locker rooms and bathrooms and prisons and things like that. But here we go. Already the Democrats are going to the LGBTQ judges to push their personal agenda and elevate men's privacy over women's privacy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we've seen from the Trump administration the importance of, number one, recognizing that there are two and only two sexes, male and female, that we are created as such, but building on that, that our policies should reflect that truth, that we shouldn't have men in women's locker rooms, restrooms. We shouldn't have boys taking away championships from deserving, hardworking young women in athletics. And so Montana has time and time again stepped up in this area and said this session passed HB 121. It just takes that principle and says when we're looking at things like correctional facilities, when we're looking at other government buildings, when we're looking at domestic violence shelters, we need to preserve women's spaces for women. A man should not be staying in the same room as a woman fleeing sex trafficking or abuse in a domestic violence shelter. A teenage girl who's maybe made some bad decisions and is in a juvenile correction facility, she shouldn't be forced to share a jail cell with a man. Nowhere should women have to worry about walking into one of these private spaces and finding a guy in there. So HB 121 is just common sense, just simply saying that we want to preserve these spaces for women while still allowing accommodation. We recognize that there are people that, for a variety of reasons, may not be comfortable with that.
Yeah, hold that thought. Matt Sharp, Senior Counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back to you right after this. I'm also wondering, are there any bills that we should be concerned about and be on the watch for? Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Insurance is a fascinating business. Things that happen to you or me randomly occur with virtual certainty in the insurance business. A car wreck, a house fire, a disabling injury. We may go through our entire lives without any of these things happening, but an insurance pool with tens of millions of customers, the percentage that suffer these events is knowable with great precision. Buying an insurance policy involves a trade-off between a small, certain payment, the premium, and a large, unpredictable loss. We choose the payment to buy ourselves the certainty, even if most of the time it may be wasted money. Insurance premiums reflect those percentages or risks. If they're set too low, the insurer loses money. Too high, and they risk competition that would steal their business. It works the other way as well. If premiums are lower than risks, then more people will sign up and the insurers lose. But if low risks are priced too high, those who are safe risks will opt out, and fewer policies will be written. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
After his swearing-in in the Oval Office, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Paul Atkins said his top priority is creating a firm regulatory foundation for digital assets.
We will work to ensure that the United States is the best and most secure place in the world to invest and to do business.
Atkins served at the SEC during the George W. Bush administration and since then has been an advocate for cryptocurrency platforms.
I will work to protect investors suffers from fraud, keep politics out of how our securities laws and regulations are applied, and advance clear rules of the road that encourage investment in our economy to the benefit of America.
President Trump won broad support from digital currency groups during the campaign and has established a first-of-its-kind strategic Bitcoin reserve and digital asset stockpile. Critics have questioned President Trump's own business interests in crypto coins. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, it came up, I think one of our callers mentioned it. I can't remember when this came up, but we've been talking about, you know, women's privacy protections. We've been talking about, you know, parents' rights, things like that. And they keep being described as 80-20 issues, meaning like 80% of the American people, this is common sense stuff. Women's privacy in their bathrooms and their locker rooms. Parents' rights. This is just common sense stuff here. Matt Sharp, though, what do you think? Is this bigger than an 80-20 issue? I've got to think it's even bigger than an 80-20 issue, but who knows anymore with our crazy culture?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, you at the end of the day ask any parent, should they be the ones to make decisions of what's best for their child? They're going to agree to that. And again, that's not to recognize that there's not some bad parents, but at the end of the day, we know that parents know and love their child best, and they should be the ones empowered to make these critical decisions for their kids.
You know, it's so easy, especially with shows like this during legislative sessions like this, it's so easy to focus on that which divides us. But like I said earlier, these are the issues that unite us, not just as conservatives or for those who are Republicans, or but this is what unites us as Montanans. And we've seen this unity on display in the Montana legislature, where they're standing up for women's privacy protections and parents' rights and things like that. One of the challenges I can only imagine being a legislator in Montana and other legislative bodies elsewhere is there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills. Some days that they've had dozens of bills that they're voting on in one day, and then you get amendments that start flying as well. And so you might get an amendment that, hey, sounds good, and then you vote for it, not realizing that that might be a poison pill and actually does the opposite of what you're trying to do. Are there any poison pills out there that have somehow snuck their way across the finish line? Are there any bills that we should be concerned about in particular?
Yeah, one of them is HB 599. This was a bill that was making some changes to the parental rights law. And as we talked about earlier, Montana has long been a leading state, in fact, the gold standard in protecting parental rights. But HB 599 would actually cut away some of those protections. It would take away parents' rights as it relates to deciding if their child is subject to physical or mental health examinations or screenings. Again, that should be something parents decide when their child receives a mental health or physical examination. Parents should decide when they receive it, who gives it to them, not the government. But this would actually take away that right from parents, a right that Montana families have right now. It would strip that away and be a huge setback of Montana's leadership on protecting parental rights. So we would love to see that bill either die or get a mandatory veto, something to make sure that we are not stepping back and rolling the strong protections that Montana has for families and children in the state.
So the overall legislation wouldn't have been bad until like a poison pill amendment was attached to it. So if the governor is able to do like an amendatory veto on something like that, it that would be fine. So maybe that's something our listeners could encourage the governor to do, is either a mandatory veto it, or if he can amendatory veto it, just straight up reject HB 599.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one other one we've seen that, not so much a poison pill, but I think misinformation about a really good bill that's moving. This is it's a piece of legislation. It's called the CARES Act that protects pregnancy centers in the state from discrimination. It makes sure that you don't have some local municipality that's trying to target pregnancy centers, put additional burdens on them. And there's been some misinformation. Some people have said, oh, this is completely exempting pregnancy centers from basic health and safety regulations. That's simply false. What this is doing is making sure that you can't put special burdens, special regulations that only apply to pregnancy centers and not anyone else. Because we've seen in other states, they'll go after them and they'll accuse pregnancy centers of being deceptive or false advertising. And we've got several lawsuits we've had to file against cities and counties over ordinances like that. So this simply makes sure that Montana is treating pregnancy centers fairly, treating them the same as others, and not allowing any special burdens or discrimination against these great organizations that are serving Montana women.
Yeah, I just had the honor of emceeing the Billings Christian School banquet, and we had a former SOCOM chaplain as the keynote speaker at that. But I got to see Cindy Nordstog, who runs LaVie, which is a pro-life crisis pregnancy center, helping young women who get into a tough situation. And yeah, I mean, states like California, they have been trying to force, well, not trying, they were forcing pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion services. I mean, an outrageous violation of the First Amendment. And so, again, it's a reminder that whether this is happening already in Montana or not, now is the time with a Republican governor and a Republican majority. Who knows what will happen next campaign cycle? Now is the time to put these protections in place.
That's exactly right. We want to make sure that these organizations are not forced to perform abortion, to promote abortion, or to do anything that undermines their ability to get these critical services and support to women that find themselves with an unexpected pregnancy. Again, we've seen other states look at protections like this. We want Montana to continue to be a leader to put women's health and safety first, and that's what this legislation does by making sure that those pregnancy centers are free to continue to serve women without being targeted or discriminated by local cities or counties in the state.
We've got such a big problem here in Montana with judicial overreach, sometimes at the district court level, oftentimes at the state Supreme Court level. What happens if, okay, I mentioned, I think it's more than an 80-20 issue. You know, HB 121, the governor signed it into law. This was a case of unity where the legislature stood united, protecting women's privacy. And what does the far left do? They go to a far left judge in Missoula, Montana, to initial a TRO to block it. He'll probably eventually shoot it down. It's outrageous. In his decision, he basically straight up said, well, men's right to privacy to enter the women's bathroom is what matters. So he basically was saying that men's privacy is more important than women's privacy, which is outrageous. But what can we do? Is there any way to elevate something like that to the federal courts? Maybe we'll have a more fair shot in the federal courts. I don't know if that can be done with those types of cases or not.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth exploring because we're seeing federal courts uphold laws exactly like HB 121. In fact, just a month or so ago, Idaho had a similar law that had passed a couple of years ago. It went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is a court that often has a reputation for being more left-leaning, and the Ninth Circuit unanimously upheld Idaho's similar law that says men don't belong in women's facilities. It recognized that women have a right to not be forced to share these intimate spaces with men, to not be forced to undress in these spaces or use the shower or restroom in spaces where men can access and come into those areas. So with the Ninth Circuit recognizing that Idaho has an interest in protecting women's privacy and safety, it ought to be a simple rule for Montana courts to reach the same conclusion, to put the safety and privacy of Montana women first. And so we hope to see that this wrong lower court decision is corrected and that the law is allowed to go into effect, because that's going to be a win for women and girls across the state.
Yeah, and of course, Idaho is under the Ninth Circuit. Montana, we are under the Ninth Circuit as well. So that, yeah, so if we are, if this judge pushes his personal agenda and permanently strikes down this women's privacy protection, hopefully we can bring that up to the federal courts. Like you say, there's already solid precedent there. Matt Sharp, senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. I know we got you for a couple more minutes here. Unless you got to run, let me know if you got to run. We greatly appreciate your time this morning here. Have you been following this United States Supreme Court case involving parents' rights, a big discussion taking place this week?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the case out of Maryland where parents were concerned that their children were being forced to listen to, be exposed to some pretty radical LGBT ideology. And these were parents that were simply asking for an opt-out, for their child to be excused from listening to these books, from having them being indoctrinated into this ideology. And from what I've heard from the Supreme Court argument, it went really well. I think several of the justices concerned that we would be allowing the government to force beliefs and ideas on parents in violation of their beliefs, their rights. So I think we could get a big victory for Run for Rights and for religious freedom out of this case, one that could impact families across the country, making sure that they can shield their kids from objectionable content being pushed on them by schools.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of the back and forth between the justices in that case, and Jesse Waters had a segment last night, and it's just shocking. I mean, basically, they're promoting drag queens to six-year-olds, to kindergartners, and they don't think that the parents should have a say in this at all. It's crazy.
Yeah, the scary thing is it's this idea that kids belong to the government and not the parents, that the government should be deciding what kids should be exposed to. And again, that is not the role of the government. God doesn't give kids to government. It gives kids to their parents and entrust parents with training them and raising them. And so we want to see a strong victory for these families in Maryland because every parent should have the authority to decide what their child is exposed to, when they're exposed to it. That is not something the government should be able to override parents' decisions about what's best for their kids.
Matt Sharp, Senior Counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, an honor to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you. Yeah, that was a fascinating insight all around. By the way, I mentioned Jesse Waters' program last night. Here's a little clip from that segment talking about that U.S. Supreme Court case.
The country says, we don't want DEI. Democrats say, yeah, you do. The country says, we don't want gay porn in kindergarten. And the Democrats went to the Supreme Court and said, yeah, you do.
Pride Puppy was the book that was used for the pre-kindergarten curriculum. That's no longer in the curriculum.
That's the one where they're supposed to look for the leather and things and bondage, things like that.
It's not bondage. It's a woman in a leather.
Sex worker, right?
No.
No?
That's not correct. No.
I read it.
It's a drag queen. Drag queen.
It's just a drag queen. Yeah, for six-year-olds, for kindergartners. Oh, man, I tell you what, it's like November 5th, 2024. Never even happened for these Democrats, even the Montana Democrats, filing suit against common sense protections for women and girls. We've got the great Attorney General Austin Knutson next.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Austin who is on the... Oh, Austin Knutson is on the phone lines. Yeah, we got the best attorney general in the country, Montana's attorney general, Austin Knutson, on the phone lines with us right now. A.G. Knutson, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Always glad to do it, Aaron. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Before we get into the topic at hand, I know you got a big, important conference taking place, I think, in Bozeman next week. I wanted to be there for it, but, man, just schedule is crazy right now. But I know there's some other folks who are going to be there, or they're going to want to make it to it once they hear about it here this morning. But before we get into it, it's as if November 5th, 2024 never even happened with some of these Democrats. Have you been noticing that? I mean, you know, they're criticizing the governor for encouraging gun businesses down in Colorado to flee the anti-gun state of Colorado and move to Montana. They're filing lawsuits against protection for women's privacy rights in bathrooms and locker rooms. They're voting against income tax relief in the legislature. You're a former speaker of the Montana House. I mean, it seems that way to me. It's like November 5th never even happened for these Democrats. They're still in complete denial, far-left activist mode.
You know, Aaron, I'm a big fan of of Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, and I like what he's had to say about this. This is Operation Let Them Talk. I mean,
just give them the mic.
apparently getting beat by 20 points in every statewide election has not taught them any lessons here. So, I mean, if they want to keep doing crazy, I'm certainly not going to tell them to stop.
That's a good point. I mean, they brought Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, to Helena for their big Democrat dinner. And then they bring Bernie Sanders and AOC to Missoula. Who knows? Will Zoe Zephyr and Ryan Bussey be their candidate for Congress in the Western District next year? It sure seems like that's who AOC was backing.
I mean, the Democrat Party in Montana has been decimated. They have no bench. And they're just tone deaf. I mean, they literally, I won my race by 20 points. Governor Gianforte won his reelection by 20 points. Christy Jacobson, our Secretary of State, won her race by 20 points. We've got majorities in both chambers of the legislature. The Democrat Party in the state is done, and they just keep doubling down on their crazy. It's been pretty stunning to watch.
Yeah, well, let's go to the topic at hand here. But this ties into the big news of the day here. I mean, human trafficking. Tren de Aragua, TDA, the Venezuelan prison gang, the criminal illegal aliens that have flooded into this country over the last 4 years. Now the Trump administration going after Tren de Aragua with RICO racketeering charges. But part of the racketeering charges that they've filed now in the Southern District of New York against these Tren de Aragua operatives involves human trafficking. Well, big surprise that violent Venezuelan prison gang and drug cartels and others might be trafficking humans in the United States of America.
Yeah, well, this was no shock to anybody who's been in law enforcement at any kind of level and dealt with the human trafficking issue for any amount of time. Certainly we know that the drug cartels are involved. When I was down at the Texas border with Mexico, we got a briefing from the Texas Department of Safety, and their preliminary estimates were that the cartels were making upwards of $150 million every week just in human trafficking on that border. So this is big business for the cartels. We've got two big bad cartels operating here in Montana, not to mention a number of Tren de Aragua that we've rounded up in the state. So your listeners need to not kid themselves. This stuff is happening right here in little old Montana.
Yeah, that's right. Human trafficking, though, has been a big topic of conversation for a number of years. Bipartisan in terms of people expressing concern about human trafficking in general because of our interstates. We are a crossroads, a lot of interstate traffic that rolls through here. So we know that you wouldn't think of Montana being a big hub for human trafficking. But then again, you wouldn't have thought of Montana as being a hub for Venezuelan prison gangs and Mexican drug cartels either. But we are. You've got a big regional human trafficking conference coming to Montana here in just a few days.
I do, and I'm really, really proud of this, and kudos to my staff, and specifically Alex Sturhan. Alex used to work for Congressman Zinke.
Great guy.
He worked for me for the last 4 years. Alex has really leaned into this human trafficking crisis. He's learned a bunch, and he's put together a couple of these conferences we've done for the last 3 years, but this one is huge. Typically, the GRIT conference, which stands for Greater Rockies Immersive Training, GRIT. This is a training that's been done in Wyoming for the last several years, but Alex was successful in convincing that group, hey, come up to Montana, let's put this immersive 3-day ultra-intensive training on in Montana. And this is for law enforcement professionals, this is for prosecutors, and it's for members of the public and nonprofits who are working in this space, victim services, shelter, counseling services, whatever that might be. But we're going to put them all in the same room for 3 days. We're going to look at new trends, what we're seeing, different things, changes in this heinous culture, because this is the stuff that we're dealing with in the state. We want to make sure our professionals are trained in the absolute best and latest techniques. So that's what we're doing early next week in Bozeman.
Yeah, that's great. In fact, it was pretty cool. During that last break, just before we got you on the phone lines, I went to refill my cup of coffee and ran into a lady in the hallway up here chatting with our folks at the radio stations. And she's on the board for an outfit called the Worthy Ranch, which is a really cool organization. It's a ranch. And what they're using that ranch for is to help, or what they eventually want to use it for, is to provide a safe place for human trafficking survivors and for women who have survived human trafficking. And I told her, I said, hey, I'm actually having the Attorney General on. We're talking about this big human trafficking conference. And she said one of their fellow board members, Jenna McKay, is actually one of your keynote speakers. So she's going to share her story of survival and healing at this very conference in Bozeman next week.
It's going to be very powerful, but yeah, you're exactly right. The Worthy Ranch, Jenna McKay sits on that board. She's a survivor, but she's also a nationally renowned speaker that comes and talks on her experience with surviving human trafficking, with getting out, and just educating folks. And this is really powerful stuff. We're really lucky to have her come and speaking to us. But look, this is going to be 3 days of hard topics, but really, really important topics. Aaron, you and I have talked about this before, but I've never seen anything as evil as this kind of sex slavery, because that's what it is. I actually don't like the term human trafficking. For the most part, what we're talking about is sex slavery, and it typically involves young, underage teenage girls. It's vile. It's disgusting to see what people will do to each other to make a dollar. But that's what this is. This is not a victimless crime. So really excited to be wading into this, to have leaned in like we have, and to be hosting this really, really important conference in Bozeman next week.
Yeah. Talk about some of the new laws that are on the books to address this issue in particular, because really it's multifaceted. I mean, you not only have to go after the bad guys that are leading these efforts, but you also have to go at some of the roots of the problem as well, which is the drug dealers and other things like that.
So true. So this has been frustrating. I mean, going clear back to my time in the legislature, I mean, we were trying to pass anti-human trafficking legislation, but frankly, we had a hard time convincing the Montana legislature for a lot of years that this was actually happening in the state, and that we needed to do something about it. And so it really wasn't until 2019 that we had any meaningful anti-human trafficking legislation passed in Montana. But just last legislative session, just in 2023, my office, we wrote a huge bill, and it'll be House Bill 112. It was carried by a Billings legislator, Jody Etchart. She did a fantastic job for us on this, but that was a 100-and-some-page bill that rewrote and added some real teeth to our anti-human trafficking statutes in Montana, because before it was a slap on the wrist. I tell people, prior to 2023, someone could get online and order illegal sex with a minor child up to 5 times in the state and never face a felony. I mean, that was the state that we were in up until just 2 years ago. So that's no longer the case. It's a first-time felony. We're taking this much more seriously now. We've got actual resources at the Department of Justice. We've got agents dedicated to just fighting human trafficking.
So after this issue, all right, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Looks like my microphone's cutting out on me here. We'll be back right after this. Stand by.
What the heck is going on? Why is my mic?
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I can't make this up. Congressman Peter Welch visited detained Columbia University activists. This guy calling him a friend and praising his work with Jewish brothers and sisters on Columbia's campus. Oh, okay. Well, this guy that he was visiting with could empathize with Hamas's decision to launch the attack and use the siren to drown out pro-Israel students protesting for the release of Israeli child hostages. This is what the Democratic Party's now been reduced to? What do you mean? This is the hill that they want to die on, protecting and championing men's rights for women's sports, championing pro-Hamas sympathizers.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Reba McEntire is set to host the 60th annual ACM Awards for the 18th time. The ceremony returns to the Ford Center in Frisco, Texas on May 8th. Ella Langley leads with 8 nominations, including Female Artist of the Year. Morgan Wallen, Lainey Wilson, and Cody Johnson follow with 7 nods each. Kelsey Ballerini receives her first ever Entertainer of the Year nomination. Newcomers Shabuzi, Dasha, Noah Khan, and others join the first-time nominee list. The awards will stream live exclusively on Prime Video at 8 Eastern. Billy Ray Cyrus and Elizabeth Hurley made it Instagram official Easter Sunday. The 59-year-old model and actress and Cyrus posted a picture of themselves outside with her smiling broadly as he, in bunny ears, kisses her cheek. The two previously worked together on the 2022 romantic comedy Christmas in Paradise. Hurley admitted being a fan of Cyrus since watching Hannah Montana with her son. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Every Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Canute's, whoa, okay. Maybe I should use a different microphone. I know our engineer was testing the mics a little bit here. Caden, is this okay now with the microphone? I'm doing the hear me. Can you hear me now over the air? All right, we might as well just fix it while we're live over the air, make sure it sounds good over the air as well while we're here. I can always switch to another microphone if need be. Sounds like it's working now. Attorney General Austin Knutson, just a quick few minutes left in the hour. Thanks for sticking around with us here. I just posted another story on our Montana Talks website right now. You've got an illegal alien from Mexico in Bozeman, Montana, just got picked up by ICE. He's being deported ASAP. News Nation was on the ground in Whitefish with the Spokane sector of the Border Patrol as they arrested 6 illegal aliens in the Flathead. So finally, we're starting to see, you know, some things happen here in Montana thanks to a new president.
Oh, Aaron, I can't overstate what a sea change it is having Donald Trump back in the White House. And just from a law enforcement standpoint, and what do I mean by that? I basically, for the first 4 years of my administration, under the Biden-Harris administration, we basically had zero contact with the federal government. We had a little contact with DEA on some drug trafficking things, but for the most part, we were frozen out by ICE. We had very limited contact with Customs and Border Patrol in Montana, although I will give them and their leadership credit at the Havre sector. They did stay in pretty decent contact with me. But what a difference one election makes. We've now got ICE openly working with us here in Montana. They're meeting with me in my office. They're looking for jail space. They're being aggressive. They're being active in the state. We're going to deputize all of the highway patrol and a lot of our DCI agents to help them with their mission here in Montana because they don't have a lot of agents in this state era. But we now know that the Biden administration was dumping illegal immigrants into Montana and primarily into Gallatin County. We suspected this before, but we could never get that administration to actually admit it and show us what they were doing. Well, the Trump administration has. And they're helping us with this mess. So this is just a complete game changer.
Yeah, I thought the last time I talked with Governor Gianforte, I thought it was interesting. He told us that the feds were telling him that they believe there's about 1,000 illegal aliens in Montana, mostly in Gallatin County. So still a lot more to follow when it comes to the arrests and the deportations. But yeah, Judge Ashley Harada, great judge in Yellowstone County, she said now she sees illegal aliens come through and they're deporting them. The sheriff in Toole County said, you know, they would give these people to Border Patrol and then Biden put them back out on the streets. Now they're deporting these people or they're prosecuting them.
Yeah, that was a horrifying revelation that we learned. And we actually got tipped about this by the Border Patrol, that when they were encountering illegal aliens at the border, at our Montana northern border with Canada, very often they would call ICE. ICE would come pick these people up and take them to Great Falls and turn them loose. That was happening under the Biden administration. Now, it didn't matter what kind of a criminal background they had. This was just the policy. So, yeah, I mean, again, we suspected these things, but we could never get that administration to actually put their cards on the table and tell us what they were doing. Donald Trump is a man of his word. I mean, whatever you think of the guy, he's doing the job, and he's actually allowing our law enforcement professionals at Border Patrol and ICE to do their jobs.
Well, and rather than working against the President of the United States, you're one of those great attorneys general that's working with the President of the United States to secure this country and fix so many other problems. But the blue state AGs, they're doing everything they can to not just to undermine Trump, but really to undermine this country. Attorney General Austin Knutson, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for your time. The Human Trafficking Conference, that GRIT conference in Bozeman next week, can people still sign up for it?
Go to our website, go to DOJMT.gov, and go to our press releases section. You'll find out about the GRIT conference, and there's a link in that press release.
Yeah, I think it's
register.
Uprising, yep. Y-O, Uprising, W-Y-O.org. All right, perfect. All right, hey, thank you very much. Great to have you on the show, as always. We've got Senate President Matt Regeer next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Insurance is a fascinating business. Things that happen to you or me randomly occur with virtual certainty in the insurance business. A car wreck, a house fire, a disabling injury. We may go through our entire lives without any of these things happening, but an insurance pool with tens of millions of customers, the percentage that suffer these events is knowable with great precision. Buying an insurance policy involves a trade-off between a small, certain payment, the premium, and a large, unpredictable loss. We choose the payment to buy ourselves the certainty, even if most of the time it may be wasted money. Insurance premiums reflect those percentages or risks. If they're set too low, the insurer loses money. Too high, and they risk competition that would steal their business. It works the other way as well. If premiums are lower than risks, then more people will sign up and the insurers lose. But if low risks are priced too high, those who are safe risks will opt out, and fewer policies will be written. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.